in ministry, this is how we roll, right? We all have different roles and you have to learn how to roll.
Hello. We're going to try to figure that out. Let's go ahead and I just want to get started with the word of prayer. I'm going to ask Christy Lindley to open us in prayer. And then when you're done with that, just kind of tell us who you are.
Okay. Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, we thank you, first of all, that we are your daughters. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you know each one in here. You know us by name. Father, we thank you that you have called us, that you have chosen us. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor, Lord, it is to serve you. Now, Father, we give you this opportunity, Lord, just to bring about encouragement, to bring about knowledge and wisdom. And Father, we just praise you and thank you. And Lord, just have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hello. Thank you. All right. Well, I am Christy Lovely. I am an itinerant minister and a marketplace pastor. So what does that mean? Basically, I am credentialed as an evangelist, so I travel and speak. I speak at women's events. I preach on Sunday mornings. Marketplace ministry, what is that? As somebody who is called to community, I had a TV program in St. Louis. I had a radio program. Now I have a podcast that goes to 120 countries. And so my heart is part of what I do outside of the church when I'm not preaching in church is really reach people who are unchurched or who have been harmed by church and bring them to Jesus and then hopefully get them involved in a local church. So that's who I am. I am presbyter of my section. I was the first female elected in my section. First one in the state. Lori came 2 weeks after I was. And I'm the first one, first presbyter who is not a lead pastor of a church. So ladies, if you feel a call of God on your life in leadership, just be encouraged. You're going to start seeing a whole lot more women. Because right now, I think there's four of us who are on the presbytery. So praise God.
Thank you, Christy, for sharing with us who you are and what you do. So I am Debbie Inman. I am women's presbyter, but I am the associate pastor at Maranatha in Decatur. And basically, I am a PK who's been there my whole life. And anybody got PKs in here, right? So you know that you're in ministry whether you want to be or not. And I loved it. I just knew that this is what God had made me for, is to be in ministry. So because I had not seen a lot of women in ministry except as pastor's wives, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a pastor's wife. That did not happen. I married a contractor, and but because of him, he continued to see the call of God on my life and continued to not push me, but support me as I pursued God. And so I am so excited to see more women in ministry roles and leading ministries, because I think it will help our next generation of ladies go, I have that call, and kind of think outside of the box. And so I'm really excited for that. I am a mom of four girls. Yes, you can pray for me. They are phenomenal girls, but it's a house full of girls, so it's loud, it is fun, and it's kind of a roller coaster sometimes, right? But I just kind of wanted us to look about all of our different roles. As women, whether we are in a lead position in ministry, or we are a spouse in ministry, or we're just a volunteer, we all have different roles that we have, and they a lot of times play them in different ways. So if you look at the different roles, I just wrote down a few. You could be a wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, a ministry leader, a pastor, you're a child of God, you have a job, you might be a room parent, you might be the homeschool teacher, you might be a caregiver, you might be a student, and at some point, that's a lot of hats, and you may wear multiple hats at the same time. and that can get very overwhelming. I've been there. I think that it's learning in life what has to be balanced, which, can I just let you know that life isn't balanced? And so we try to strive for something that you're not going to be able to reach, because it's not, something has to have more attention at this time. And so then you have to learn how to bring that back down. But sometimes it's tensions that have to be maintained. You have to go, okay, I've got to lean this way right now, but then I have to come back that way. And I'm not coming at this because I have it all figured out. I just want us to be a room full of girls and let you know that we can be vulnerable, we can be real in this place. And so I want to come to you out of just some lessons I've learned and am learning. I also think that there's just a difference of how men operate in ministry versus how women operate in ministry. Lori Hunter and I were talking about this over the phone. There are just some things that women in ministry have to deal with that men will never have to think about. I remember leading worship 35, 36 weeks pregnant, going, oh Jesus, please don't let my water break.
Men will never have to.
Right? Men will never have to figure out how to preach on the love of Jesus when you are hormonal. Right? I mean, they will just never have to figure out how to operate in the love of Jesus when you're like, I don't even like myself today. Right? Because we're hormonal. Men will never be asked to babysit. Men pastors probably are not asked, like, hey, can you babysit? We just have different things that we wear as women in ministry. And I want us to understand, it's okay. God called us and God will equip us for that, right? I wrote a poem. I remember right before COVID, I was talking to my sister. She lives 8 hours away. And I said, life just feels like a merry-go-round, going faster and faster, and I can't get off. I don't know how to make the crazes stop. And then COVID happened. It was like, bam, one crazy stop. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm home for 2 weeks. And you know, and so it's just interesting, but it took me time and gave me time to really reflect on what I was feeling. And out of that came this poem, and it is out of my vulnerability, but I want to share it with you because I believe there's a lot of us who could probably relate to this. Little girls, you dream to have it all, a hobby, a career, and the prince you need at the ball. If you work hard and plan smart, you can have it all right from the start. I get going on the merry-go-round of life, and it spins faster and faster. My head is spinning. My body is screaming. I can't stop now. They'll think I'm a disaster. I keep working. I keep moving every day. I want this now more than ever. I've come too far to quit today. Trying to keep it all together, my family, my job, and oh, I used to have friends. The other girls make it look so easy, smiling and posting as they run their errands. Then it all becomes too much one day. I finally scream, I'm done. I can't go on this way. You win. There, I said it, you won. I'm an incompetent woman. Then I stop to wonder, with whom am I competing? And what prize is to be won? I fall on my knees as all I have comes undone. As I sit there in the pile of my defeat, I hear a small voice say, come to me. I remember this voice from my childhood, and instantly I feel great peace. At first, I try to hide my mess, but as I hand it all to him, I feel a great relief from all the stress. Little by little, one by one, he pulls apart the tangled mess I've made, because I said, I can get this done. I finally see the life I've always wanted is found in surrendering my dreams to him. He has a plan, a hope, and a future. A cup of joy and peace for me that overflows the rim. Maybe that's the point of this life, to come to a place of being undone. For this is when I came to him. And now I know one day I'll hear, welcome home and well done. I think at any point we can relate to some part of that where you just are trying to keep life and all of this together. And I just want to take some time and identify some myths that I believe I bought into and maybe you have bought into. And the first myth is you can't have it all. We think we can, right? You can have it all. That's the myth. You can have it all. The truth is you can't have it all at the same time. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. There's a time and there's a season for everything. But the world wants to tell you, you can have it all right now, all from the start. And so we try to live up to that. And when we can't have it all, we think there's something wrong with us. But really, it's a myth. And so we need to understand that Ecclesiastes 3:11 also says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Our life is made up of seasons. And we need to start learning how to recognize what season we're in. I know that one of the things I have done is try to rush through seasons that I don't like. Because it's, you know, it's a hard season, and so I just want to get through it. And I just push and push, but there's something I'm going to miss if I don't start recognizing the season God has me in and what he wants to do in that season. And realizing that there's beauty in every season we walk through. I know that I'm getting ready to walk into a new season of my oldest will be 17 on Thursday. She's going to be a senior. So I know I'm getting ready to go into a seniors of a season of the last things. Like, oh, this is her last track meet. This, but I want to not rush through that and really enjoy that. I also have on the other end, I have a six-year-old who we homeschooled this year. So I'm getting ready to start a season of first with her. Her first day of going to school next fall. Her first, and so I have to look at that and go, I'm in a season, and I'm even in different seasons with different kids. And so I want us to take some time and go, what season am I in? And what does God want to show me? That there's beauty in the season, no matter what it may look like. The other one, the other myth is that everybody has it together but me. Everybody's got it all figured out. They're doing a great job except for me. Right? Can I just tell you, nobody has it all together. Nobody has it all figured out. And we need to stop comparing ourselves. You know, we already heard this in the morning session, that we need to not be comparing ourselves to each other and seeing that as our measure of how well we're doing in life. We need to realize, I want to do everything for the Lord, and not so that I can measure myself up to other people. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Listen, we may not have it all together, but we can depend on him. We can do everything, whatever role you're in right now or roles you're in, do it on utter dependence upon God, and he will make us able to do things we didn't think we could do. We can also have a heart of thanksgiving in that, right? A heart of thanksgiving is something we all have to practice. I have to practice it when I'm doing laundry for six people. Okay, Jesus, I'm thankful I have a washing machine that I just have to throw it in, right? It could have been so much harder. I also am one that has learned, thank you, God, for indoor plumbing. Thank you, God, for a hot water heater so that when I'm stressed, I can take a nice hot shower, right? But just making a heart of gratitude will help us to stop comparing what we don't have or what we think we're lacking in ourselves, and just it will help us just rest in that, right? And then when you read down further in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. Just put your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that this is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. And when we can stop comparing ourselves, listen, I have fallen into it. I've asked people, I've asked friends, I'm like, I don't know what drug you're on, but I cannot keep up with you. Like, I'm just constantly doing things. And I even, probably the last month, I was like, man, my kids have been at home, I need to do this. And
I don't really want to sign the youngest one up for T-ball, but my neighbor's signing her kid up for T-ball, and I'm going to look, you know. Then I was like, and I did. I signed it up for T-ball the first week I had to divide and conquer four kids. Even if you let four kids each do one thing, it's still four things you got to do, right? So I, because I had compared myself that I was going to look bad in my neighbor's eyes, I created chaos in my home. Because I was like, I can make this happen and juggle that, and I created great chaos. And then when I stopped, I was like, wait a minute. She has one kid, I have four. She stays at home, I have a full-time job, and it's very, ministry is very different. It's not a 9-to-5 job. And here I was comparing, but I wasn't comparing everything. I was just going, how am I going to look to her if I say no? And because I was, fell to that trap, it brought chaos. We'll get through it. We readjusted and we made some boundaries, but things like that is what happens. But I just need us to remember, and I need to remember, I'm not doing any of this for people. I'm doing it for Him. And He will equip me. He will sustain me. He will allow me to know what to say yes to, what to say no to. And I'm so glad His grace allows me to learn that when I say yes to the wrong thing, He can still bring it back and bring peace and use it. Amen? So I also just want to look at how do we win in each of these roles. I hope that this can broaden, no matter what role you're in or what season of life you're in. We all want to win at life. We want to know, how can I do this the best I can? It says put your best effort, you know, work from the soul, give your best effort. And so I think we need to do that. First of all, we need to submit. We just need to submit our lives to the Lord. And I think that's a daily thing. You know, in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your plans to the Lord and He will cause them to succeed. I believe that we can learn daily to say, you know what's on my plate, Lord. You know what I have to accomplish today. I submit it to you. If there's something on here that you need to take off that I can give to somebody else, show me that. I'm just going to put it here, and I need you to help me. And I submit my plans, and I commit them to you. And when we do that, He'll cause our life to be successful. He'll cause our plans to succeed. I believe we'll have wisdom on how to do things more efficiently. I believe we'll know what it is our responsibility, and what are other people's responsibilities that we've taken on. Right? We're all guilty of that. You know, in the first session when he was wanting to say, I am not the Messiah, I think so many times when we wear that for our spouse, if they're going to let a ball drop or something, yes, we are a helpmate, but we're not their rescuer. We're not their savior. We're a helpmate. Very different, right? We also don't want to see our kids fail. We don't want to see our kids fall. And so we try to come in and we try to rescue them in every way. Sometimes I think the best thing we can do for our kids is to be there and help them pick up the pieces and show them that, hey, we all fall. We all mess up. But when you take those pieces to Jesus, He'll put them back together better than your mama can. And let Him do that. So let's just commit our plans to the Lord. And then the second one is we need to prioritize. You know, in Corinthians 14:33, it says God does things decently in order. So we need to figure out, how do we prioritize things? How do we do things in order? God does not want our lives to be in chaos. He wants us to be at peace. And I think that we can be busy and peaceful. I don't think we have to be busy and chaotic. But it comes down to prioritizing. And I've asked Christy to come up and really just give us some actual hands-on tools on that. Before I get started, I want to mention that there are women in this room like myself. My husband is not in ministry. I am the minister. I am the person that the community sees. I went to a church last week, and the pastor introduced me and said, well, Christy's the famous one. And then he looked at my husband and said, and you're the halfway famous one because you're married to her. And everybody laughed. It's a good thing to laugh at that. It's okay. Because so many times it's reverse. And so for you ladies in here who have a call of God on your life and your spouse doesn't, it's okay to be you.
Amen.
Thank you, Christina. And that reminds me of an announcement you asked me to make. Which is, they are starting, because Stacy is in the same boat that I am, where I am the minister and my husband takes the back seat. And my husband doesn't come to meetings sometimes because he doesn't do the business part of the ministry. And so they are going to be starting, Christina and Don, Stacy's husband, a group for ministry spouses where the spouse is a male and not a female. Like one of the years that I was ordained, I was the only female, and they gave gifts to the spouses. And they looked at Craig, and God bless them. I'm not saying anything negative, but they handed him a book, and she was like, well, sorry. You know, it was a book for women. And my husband just laughed it off, and it was okay. There's nothing negative about that. I just think sometimes we are not the norm.
Right.
But I am here to say today, if you want to join their group, go to Christina.
That's right.
But I'm here to say today, it is okay to be you.
Right.
That God has called you, and not man, not women, but God alone. And so there are some things that I want to say that need to become habits for us. Now, if you're not the main one called, that you support your spouse, praise God. You still have a role and a call.
Amen.
Also.
That's right.
We need to encourage one another and not decipher, but recognize we are all called. Amen?
Amen.
The first thing I want to say to you as you prioritize is to be authentic. Be authentic to who God has called you to be. I'll never forget when somebody came to me and asked me to take a pastorate position. And they were like, you know, I think you'd be good at it, and I think you need to do it. And I said, that's great, but I'm not called to pastor a church in a local setting. And I had to wrestle with that because the calling of God on my life is not a normal call. And so I first had to learn to be okay, that it's okay to be me. And that begins with being authentic to who God has called you to be and what God has spoke to your heart. And to begin to go, God, I want to listen to the dreams that you've placed within me. Not because they look like somebody else's, but because I want to be who you've created me to be. I mean, could you imagine if I caved to the pressure, again, somebody meaning well, but if I would have caved to that and taken that pastorate, I shudder to think what would have happened to that church and the call of God on my life. Because I also own a counseling practice. That's another part of my marketplace ministry. And so to have left that to do something else in that moment would not have been authentic. And how many of you know you said yes to something you'd rather not have done? What were you thinking in that process as you were doing it? Did you really want to be there? Were you all gung-ho and excited about it? Or were you like, I can't wait till this finishes? Right? So when we're doing something that isn't authentic to who God has called us and created us to be, then we're not going to flourish. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to feel deflated, and you're going to want to give up. But when you are authentic to who God has created and called and anointed you to be, then you will flourish. Second of all, you need to be confident and who God has created you to be. Now I'm going to share a story. Again, this is not negative. It's going to kind of seem that way, but I want you to hear the whole thing. the first time I was elected as assistant presbyter, I was assistant presbyter for 6 years before I became presbyter. And I can remember one of the very first meetings. Like, we get the privilege to interview people who are getting credentialed. One of my favorite things is to hear people's heart and what they feel like God has called them to. And I was at this interview, and one of the other individuals who were helping interview was there. And when, before the person came in the room, he was telling a joke, and the bunch of the butt of the joke was pastor's wives. And I sat there and I didn't say anything, and I wasn't angry at him at all, because again, I'm the first female assistant presbyter. You know, there are just some shifts that I think some people just don't think, you know. And I felt myself just pull away from the table. And we interviewed the person, and then the day went on. And that evening I was walking my dog, and I'm like, Lord, why do I just feel this shame? I mean, why do I feel like bad? Like, I'm not good enough. Like, what am I doing? What's going on? And the Lord revealed to me in that moment that when that person said that joke, who was not ill, who wasn't being mean, who didn't mean anything negative about it, that's the way I took it. The Lord said, I embraced shame. To make me feel like I should not have been sitting at the table. And that didn't come from the man who said it. It came from the enemy who came in my thoughts, who told me I'm not good enough and that I shouldn't be at that table. Look, ladies, it's not the enemy out here. It's the one inside of us. That we need to walk in confidence, not in who we are, but in who he is and who he has called us to be. Lastly, well, kind of lastly, we need to be spirit-led. Not everyone needs to know our opinions. Not everyone needs to know how we see things. See, here's the thing. If we walk in authenticity and confidence in who God has created us to be, then we use our God-given voice when the Spirit leads us to use it. Otherwise, we don't need to be somebody who just is constantly talking.
Yeah.
But we need to use our God-given voice when God directs us to use it. And lastly, one of the other habits we need to do is we need to be life learners. I have gone on to get my doctorate, and it was one of the most powerful thing and best things that I could have done, because it continued to stretch me both beyond what I thought was possible. So you may not, you know, continue education, but be a life learner. Don't ever stop learning, because she's already talked about seasons, and maybe God's going to use you in a different way or in a new way. Be a life learner. Continue to learn. And the last habit is use soul care. As women, we are not good at taking care of ourselves. But if you don't take care of you and the call of God, you can't take care of anybody else. And that means getting in the Word daily. That means eating healthy, getting enough sleep, getting some activity. But it also means doing life-giving activities for yourself and not always just thinking about everybody else. It's okay to go, I need to do this because this is life-giving for me. And on the back, I don't have time, and I don't want to... But there are, on the back of your sheet, there's notes from what I'm talking about. But I also want to just quickly, within the next couple minutes, talk about boundaries working with men. If you work with men, and to help give you confidence, knowing that God has created male and female, and we need to work together.
That's right.
You know, we, in the counseling field, I have no issues with a man sitting in my office and me counseling them.
That's right.
When I'm going to professional things, there's nothing uncomfortable sitting talking with other men and maybe me being the only female or him being the only. This is the only profession where we are afraid to be around each other. But ladies, we need to use wisdom. And the way we use wisdom is, one, cultivate your own marriage if you're married. Make your spouse know that they are the most important person to you. your spouse comes before ministry. Not your relationship before the Lord, but before ministry. Cultivate your marriage so that it is strong and solid. Work in triads. Now I'm presbyter. I work in triads. I don't do anything alone. Like, I don't get in a car alone with a man, right? Let's use wisdom. For me, I don't feel comfortable with it, so I don't do it. Now, someone else, your comfort level might be different, but that's not my comfort level. So I try to work in triads. Have three people. And if I want to have lunch with another, with a pastor of a church, I'm going to either invite his spouse, my spouse, or another pastor. Okay? Not rocket scientists. You know, we just need to use wisdom, but we can't allow our gender to hinder us or make us feel uncomfortable. Befriend the spouse. Like, one of the things I've enjoyed being presbyter is getting to know spouses also, and including everybody. And when I have to have a meeting with somebody and nobody else can be present, it's either in my office or at the church office. And I tell my husband where I'm going, with whom I'm meeting, what time the meeting is. I call him before I go in, and I call him when I leave the meeting. You know, when I had my own TV program, I had a producer who was male. And sometimes we recorded TV programs with just him and me. I always invited my husband. I told him when we were going to record, when we were going to be done. I call my husband before and after. Let's just use wisdom. And lastly, the rules might be different depending on if somebody is a congregant or a coworker. So let's not set hard, fast rules for the same individuals or for different individuals. And I don't have time to really talk more about that. But, you know, I'm going to treat somebody different if it's a pastor, like we're on the same plane. But if I'm preaching somewhere and somebody comes up to the altar who is a male who I just get a sense I'm not comfortable with, I'm going to call over either somebody else or a male to pray with that person if I sense something and I don't feel comfortable with it. So there's differences based on who we're working with. And lastly, speak up. Speak up. If something is uncomfortable, say something. And don't do anything that you're uncomfortable doing. Because if you're uncomfortable and you make it weird, then it's really going to be weird. Right? Okay. So prioritize with habits and boundaries.
Thank you, Chrissy. I appreciate that. And I think, you know, just to talk about that a little bit, we know that what our priorities should be. We know it should be God, family, ministry. But how many of you know that it's really easy to flip those? It's really easy to do that. And I think that's why starting every day with God helped me to walk in the right priorities. Order my day, order my steps will help us stay in the right frame of mind. I was listening to T.D. Jakes, a podcast, and they were asking him how he handles all the different responsibilities and things that he does. And he says, I just at the end of the day, I will have missed it in one place. Not everything can be on the front burner, so something has to go to the back burner. So maybe one day he said, I nailed it. I was a great husband and I won there. But that means I let something fall and I wasn't the best pastor that day. I let something fall. He said, the thing is, you can't fail the same place over and over. You can't constantly put your spouse on the back burner. You can't constantly put yourself on the back burner. You can't constantly. So you have to learn. He said, you just have to learn that when you go to bed at night, you're not going to accomplish everything that you wanted to accomplish, but make sure that you're moving the pots around so you're not doing the same thing on the back burner. I thought that was really helpful for me, kind of released me of that. I've got to hit it all. I've got to be perfect in that. And the self-care girls in that poem, I said, oh, I used to have friends. That's the first thing we let go of. I feel like when life gets busy, we put our friends, and because it's like that seems selfish, to go out to dinner with friends when I've got responsibilities and kids and things that are calling. I can just tell you, I made time last month. I think it was last month that about six of us girls went out to dinner. And I came home and my husband's like, you are a different person. Yeah, I spent like 30 minutes giggling. Like, I haven't laughed in a long time. And we just giggled. And, you know, it's one of those things where you go to dinner and you get up and you leave and you go to the parking lot. And like, all right, see you later. And then you walk each other to the car. It's 10 minutes later. But it energized me enough that my husband could see that it brought me life. And so I think we need to make sure that self-care really is something important. And then the last thing is to rest. We just have to learn how to rest. Right? You said it in your prayer. God knows us by name. That is Isaiah 43:1. Rest in who you are. Rest in the fact that God did not make any mistakes when he made you for the roles that he has you in. You know, we are very guilt-driven. In our society, we'll do things, we'll parent out of guilt. Oh, I missed this, so I'll try to make it up here. I'll do that. And then that leads to more and more chaos, and it leads to more and more anxiety. And I just think that the more we learn to rest, I think in ministry families, so I grew up in ministry. My husband did not grow up in a ministry family. So I think that this is like completely normal, right? The busy schedule. I read of Christmas and Easter, right? It's just like the big, this time. And he's like, whoa. And so I would kind of pick up some guilt of like, man, am I really failing my kids? Am I making them resentful of church because they're here all the time? Am I going to sit up? And it was just like God said, I knew what I was doing when I made you there, Mom. I know the kids you need for ministry. And I've equipped them. I prepared them. And I will keep them. God doesn't just call individuals for ministry families. He calls us. And so we just did a women's brunch. It was our first one after COVID. And so I'm making brunch for 90 people. And so I was like, I'll do the breakfast casserole. So I do that. And so I have a built-in team. I have four girls. We have this big island. And so each one was doing one thing. And I was like, thank you, God. I just stopped for a moment. And I giggled. And goes, what's so funny? I'm like, God just knew what he was doing by giving me four girls. Because if he would have given me four boys, this would have been a huge mess. And so just rest in the fact that God knows your name. God did not make a mistake when he called you. God did not make a mistake when he called your family. He will be with you and help you with that. I want to end with this. Today in the morning worship, I just feel like God gave me a word for us today. And it's, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. There is a river of life in you for every role you operate in. God is giving you rivers of life. And the enemy, actually like the enemy, has tried to put blockages and to dam up that flow in our life, whether it's hurt, whether it's just busyness and all those things. But as we were worshiping, God's like, when you will just rest in me and worship me, I will break apart the dam, and I will let out of your belly flow rivers of living water. And the rivers that flow out of you are to bring life to those around you. And so I just want us to end today by just worshiping and letting God just break apart any of the things that have kept us from really letting life flow out of us. Amen. So if you just take a minute, if you just bow your head and you pray and just ask God if there's anything that he needs to break through. I know that sometimes we're just so overdone, so stressed out. He just wants us to sit at his feet and allow him to break that up so that rivers can flow. that to you today. First of all, we thank you that one of the most important roles you have is being your daughter. And you delight in us. You rejoice over us with singing. Thank you for making us your daughters. Thank you for every role that you have given us. Thank you for equipping us through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk out those roles in confidence of who we are in Christ, that you will do much through us as we surrender to you. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that will teach us the voice of truth so we will not continue to buy into the myths of the world, but we will walk our lives out by the truth of your word, that we will prioritize because we surrender to you. Lord, I thank you that we will walk in peace and joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, I pray that everywhere we go, because of the peace of the Holy Spirit that is in us, there will be peace in our homes, there will be peace in our jobs, there will be peace in our churches, because we are operating through the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in complete confidence of who we are in Christ, knowing that you have called us and you will bring it forth to glorify you. Lord, teach us how to rest in your presence. Teach us how just to come before you in worship and thanksgiving, God, so you can break up the things that keep us hindered from just allowing light to flow through us. We just want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you for the calling that you have on women. And Lord, I pray that as we learn how to walk out our roles as women and ministers, women in ministry, women in support roles, it will be an example for the next generation of young ladies who will walk boldly in their calling, boldly knowing that they are following wholeheartedly after you. So God, help us to walk in a way that we can show others how to follow you. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Can we just sing the chorus of Good Morning God together? All my life you have been faithful. Joining us. I hope you are ready to walk your roles out for Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.